Isn't it fun to be a part of God's family? I just love it. Yes, yes, yes. God is so good to bring hungry hearts together so we can learn and grow and walk together in Him. I just love it. Thank you all for being my family, and I just love being able to share with you today what's on my heart. As you see on the overhead, and I love to teach with pictures because I'm a visual person, I love this picture. I'm not sure where I got it. I just reap from the body of Christ every place that I can find something that quickens to my spirit. I know that God wants us to share. And this picture that's showing Jesus coming and releasing tremendous amount of angels. And I have chosen to use that with my overhead of the glorious church of Ephesians. As I told you, I think starting about 3 months ago, that I felt like God wanted me for an indefinite period of time to be basically teaching out of the book of Ephesians what He puts on my heart. And so I'm excited that when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he wasn't addressing a problem like he was many times in a book. This was saying how you can be victorious, how you can learn to see from His perspective where you're seated in the heavenlies, that you can sit with Him in rest and flow as His conduit of releasing heaven to earth. And you can walk in that revelation, and you can stand in that revelation so that the kingdom of heaven is brought to the kingdom of earth. Now, as I said, Ephesians was not addressed a problem, and he's giving us the overall picture here. But you know, I was reminded this week, a week or two ago, in Revelation 2:1-7, and you can take it and read it later, basically God is telling each of the churches, giving them State of the Union address, where you are. And he said to the Ephesians, you know, you hate evil, and you've done many good works, but you've left your first love. So let's let that be a warning to us as we go through Ephesians. We must not lose our first love, because our first love is our life. That's where life is. That's what makes it gold, silver, and precious stones that will not burn up, rather than if you try to do the good works in your own strength, it will burn up. So being mindful of that, As I said, I love the internet. I don't have to go to a lot of conferences like I used to, because I can get the key words that God is speaking to my heart through my brothers and sisters across the world. And as I saw this picture, I thought, yes, that's exactly what I love. It was a picture that Jason Hooper from Birmingham showed, and he said that God gave him a word that the month of May, which is where we are now, is a month where God is saying, you may. You may. Permission granted. You may. Have any of you felt like you've been between a rock and a hard place for a long time? I can identify. And have you felt like that you've just kind of been in a holding pattern that you can't quite break out? As I look at this picture, it's a picture of two doors going into, it looks like an ancient place, and two keys. And he didn't put all this on it, but this is what came to me as I was looking at it. This key has three rings on it, or three holes in it, which I'm saying represents God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And this key represents us, that He's saying, I want you to no longer go into the door that men have opened and men's ways. Because that has been what has caused us to get between a rock and a hard place and being a holding pattern. And I believe he's saying now the month of May, because I take it seriously when God speaks to my brother and he says the month of May is a month that you may have permission to go through the door that is hinged by the Holy Spirit that God is opening so that we go into His ways. And I know each one of you are here today because you want His way, right? So as we move on, going back to a verse that I've been using ever since I started in Ephesians, adding a little bit to it this time, Ephesians 1, 2, 17, 19a, grace to you. Grace. That's what we're talking about today. Grace. Just what is grace? I've used that word a lot, but never dived into it to see what is grace and why is it so important. The second verse says, grace to you and peace. Well, we all want peace, don't we? All over the world, every religion is looking for peace. But it can't be found but one way. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We've talked about that before. So that you may know Him better. That's why we're here, brothers and sisters, is to know Him better. That's what's driving us. That's what we crave. That's what we yearn for, is to know Him better. In order to do that, we continue, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. Now, the great power we talked about last month, Resurrection Sunday, that is the great power, the resurrection power that each one of us are privileged in order to walk in and have. Now, I want to center in on Ephesians 1, 7, and 8. It's in Him, we have redemption through His blood. It's nothing you've ever done that you can deserve or perform or get it. It's by His blood that your sins are forgiven. Get it. Let the eyes of our heart be opened, Father, that we get it, that I get it. That in Him, that means relying upon Him, trusting in Him, walking in companionship with Him. It's in Him that our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Good news, isn't it? According to the riches of His grace. Now, grace is what I'm centering in on today, which He made to abound. Abound means just a bucket load, a ton, a whole window of heaven open up so that you get everything He's got. That it abounds toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In Him, in the book of Ephesians, is repeated 15 times. When God says anything once, it's important. But if He says it more than once, He's really trying to make a point to us. And He tells us, remember, it's in Him that all of this happens. In Him, 15 times, is used in the book of Ephesians. Now, grace is used 12 times. So grace is really important. He says, I want you to get what I have for you when you're in me, the grace that I have for you. I love this picture of Jesus standing. I am believing that it was after he was baptized and he was released into the ministry, and he's standing and water is coming down, and I'm using water coming down from heaven to represent the grace drops that God has for us. And Jesus is standing here with his arms lifted up, and the Holy Spirit, the dove, is ascending upon him, and the water is flowing down. And the verse John 1:14-16, the Word became flesh. Who's the Word? Jesus. Jesus became flesh. The Word became flesh, full of grace and truth. Truth, when we know truth, truth is reality. Truth, when we know it, sets us free. So as we follow him, Jesus is the truth. Truth is a person. And when we are walking with him, his truth sets us free because of the grace that he has provided for you and I. Now, in the 16th verse, it says, and of his fullness we've all received. It's not just James that gets it. Everybody gets it. Say, me too? Yes, me too. It's for each one of us. We have all received. We've received it. When God says something, it's true. We've received. What have we received? Grace for grace. One translation says grace instead of grace. Well, what does that mean? Well, the best way that I can think of and have been able to think of to try to illustrate it is if you have a dry riverbed, and suddenly that riverbed is full of wonderful water. Now, did that riverbed do anything to earn or deserve or merit that water flowing in it? No, it was just a container. It's just there. Oh, holding it, receiving it, benefiting from it. Have you ever thought, the presence of God is so good. He just told me something. I better hold on to it because there may not be any more. Have you ever thought of that? No, that's not grace. That's not God. God says you reach down in that river that is flowing full of wonderful, life-giving water, and you dip out what you need right then. And then you look back down, and there's not a hole there. It's filled back up, and it's flowing, flowing, flowing. You can never deplete it. That's grace for grace. You reach in and you get grace, and it fills you up. It's what you need. And you look down and there's more grace. It's replaced. The more you get and the more you give, it just keeps expanding, called abounding, an abundance amaze. Okay, I want to talk about the words mercy. We've talked about this. For mercy is not getting what you deserve. If I'm speeding, I get caught by the policeman, and I deserve a ticket, and he says, I'm just giving you a warning. Man, that's mercy. Didn't get what I deserve. Okay, but grace, that is really my subject today. What about grace? What is grace? We talk about that word forever. Grace, the Greek word for grace is charis. It's a root word for charis and that's the male part of it. The female is kara. Mercy and joy are twin, if you please. One's one side of the coin, and the other is the other side of the coin. And I'll be talking about joy more next month. But for right now, grace is charis, the male part of this Greek word, and it's saying that God has given you, if you please, a river full, all you can have, a favor. He likes you. His complete favor is toward you. Why? What was that word that's used 15 times in Ephesians? In Him. When He looks at you, He sees Jesus. And He says, oh, I love Gary, Tony, whoever, just like I love Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He says, he's got my favor. They have my power, my resurrection power that I released when I came out of the grave. It's in them. That resurrection power's there. That's what grace means. You have God's very nature in you. And whatever part of His nature that you need is available for you to draw on, to enjoy. You've got His unconditional love. No matter how bad you mess up, He doesn't stop loving you. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
It's hard to even grasp that because I don't know too many human beings that treat me the same when I mess up, do you? But God does. He says, I love you no matter how bad you mess up. My love is unconditional. My acceptance of you is complete. Why? You're in Him. You're in Him. Ray Hughes said in a conference we went to a few weeks ago that grace is the divine infusion of God's enablement so that you can fulfill your destiny without apology. Oh, that grabs my heart, didn't it, you? I want to fulfill my destiny, but I want to do it without apology. And he says, that's what grace is. Isn't that wonderful? Everything, I mean everything, that you and I need to be fully alive, to be fully alive. Jesus is life. What is normal? What is a normal Christian? Being fully alive in Him. Letting His life be released in us. That's grace. So as I saw this picture one time of raindrops coming down, some of them having the cross on them, I thought, wow, that is a beautiful picture, a PowerPoint of grace. Grace is falling all the time. And in this PowerPoint, I've actually put the Greek word for grace, charis, that it is His drops, His life, His very being. He said, it's yours. It's yours because you're in Him. Now, I've showed this picture of a red heart with this writing in it before because it's always spoken to me so much. It's written by Dallas Willard, who's presently with the Lord. But God has used him to bless my life so much. And he made this straight statement that kind of shook me to stop and think. Learning from Him, Jesus, how to lead my life as He would lead my life if He were I. Okay, now, just what's that? What is that? I'm looking to Jesus to learn to live my life the way He would live my life if he was me, but he's not me. I'm somebody different than Jesus. But I look to him to see how he lived his life so that I know how to live my life. Now, Jesus loved you and I so much, and he came to pour out grace for us, everything we need, by setting aside his attributes of being God. He laid it all down. Laid it all down. Came in the flesh like you and I, except he did not have a sin nature. And he lived his life by not deferring to his Godhead, but the way you and I must live our life, which is, Jesus says, I do nothing except what I see my Father doing. I say nothing except what I hear my Father saying. And that's the same way you and I live our life. Walking in him, in his presence, listening to his voice, enjoying companionship with him, and doing what he invites us to cooperate with him to do. That's the way we do that. That's the way he did it. Now I want to go to 1 Peter 5:6-8 and 1:8-9. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, this is hard. You say, how do you do this? How do you get this grace? You do it by humbling yourself. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If we try to exalt ourselves, it didn't go well. Doesn't turn out good. Because we're thinking about us and not him. So he says you're to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Now, remember, the month of May is the time that Jesus says, you may have permission to get out of the hard places, to break the holding pattern, if you will cooperate with me. You'll stay in me. Be humble. Don't exalt yourself. And keep your eyes on me. Have forever eyes, eternal eyes. You may not, though now you may not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The best gift we can give Jesus is to believe him by faith when we don't see or feel anything. Matter of fact, that's the only time we can give him this wonderful presence. Because if his presence is manifest, see him, we feel him, well, there's no contest. Of course we're going to. But if we will believe him and receive, though we don't see him, we give him a wonderful present, and we grow exponentially. Now, humbling ourselves is coming in the opposite spirit. You remember that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They became proud. They decided they could help God out, and they obviously needed to know more than he was willing to give them. So any time to break a hard thing, you come in the opposite spirit. So for pride to be broken in all of us, we come in an opposite spirit of humility. And Paul is a wonderful example of this. All of us know that Paul was one of the most brilliant men that lived in his time. He was the Pharisee of all Pharisees. He was the top religious guy. He made all A pluses and had everybody's approval. In his youthful zeal, he wanted to do things perfectly. And he tried exponentially. In his earliest letters, he said, "I'm inferior to the greatest apostles." So he was humbling himself. But then a few years later, he said, "I'm the least of all apostles." And then in the letter of Ephesians, which we're studying, he says, "I'm the least of all the saints." Saints are you and I. He's no longer talking about apostles. He says, "I'm the least of all the saints." You see how his progression of humility is going? And then he said in his last epistle, probably about 5 years later, that he was the worst of all sinners. The more he matured in God, the more powerful God used him, the more humble he was. So just look for that to happen in your life as you mature and you grow in him. I love this picture of a white box tied up with a red ribbon. What that says to me is God has given you purity and holiness and all good things, and it's tied by the ribbon of red because that's by the blood of the Lamb. And the tag on it says grace. God has given you grace. Everything you need to do everything that he calls you to do. That means no complaining, no grumbling, no feeling sorry for yourself. It means, God, thank you that you have given me a present of grace with everything I need. Give me wisdom and revelation to know how to unpack it. Now, how he unpacks it will be unique and different for each one of us. I love this picture of a beautiful stone stairway leaving the shore, going up into heaven from a grassy knoll with flowers all along the way. And that reminds me, God's given me his grace as I travel my path, my journey into fulfilling my destiny here. I love flowers. So I think one of the ways that we can start opening this present of grace is by start being thankful. I will go out in my garden and see a new flower blooming, and I can say, "Oh, thank you, Lord." I can see your creativity, your love in this beautiful flower. So, think about this. If you laid your life down, gave everything you had to give the person you loved the most, whether it was your mate or child or family, whoever it was, you gave them this wonderful present, and they wouldn't unwrap it. They wouldn't unwrap it. And God says, you know, "I laid down everything I have and everything I am to give you the grace. And if you don't unwrap it, it's a sin against my cross. It's a sin against my cross because I've given it to you." So let's start unwrapping the grace that he's given us by thanking him for whatever you're thankful for, whatever that is. And you may say, but my path doesn't look beautiful like the one you just shown. My path is on a deserted area. It's not beautiful. It's on a cliff. It's stiff. It's hard. It's scary. I'm afraid. And all of us have been there. All of us have been there. And when I am thinking about that at times, I remember Isaiah 41:10. God says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I'll uphold you in my righteous right hand." So he's calling each one of us, no matter if our path looks scary, he says, let me replace it with my love, my grace, so that you will know me better and you will be released to be who you were called to be. And you say, but what if I fail? He says, I've got good news. Psalms 37:24 says, though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord grasps his hands in support. Can't read the rest of it and hold you up, I think's what it says. Anyway, you can't fail. You just get to do it again. And you fall in love with him each time. Because he said, see, I got you. I will strengthen you. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about you learning to allow me to hold you, to comfort you, to release my grace, to be what you need when you need it. So let's think about this gift. Here is just the papers off of the present of grace. It's just a cardboard box and it's open. And I ask the question, what keeps us from walking in his grace? For me, the first thing that came to my mind was ignorance. I was so ignorant for 29 years of my Christian life. I did not know that he wanted to live in me and through me, and that his power was available to me, and his grace was there for me to push into and unwrap the present that he had for me. It was ignorance. I wasn't being rebellious, and I have been, but at that point I wasn't in this. I just didn't know. It's just totally ignorant. So we need to share the good news with others. This is good news. Well, if it's not ignorance, what is it? Could be fear. I know there was a little boy that I heard about that was invited to spend one summer in the country. And he was taken to the country, to this farmhouse, and the woman in charge took him to his bedroom and said, "This is your room." And he looked at it and he couldn't believe. He thought there must be some mistake. And she closed the door. His mind could not wrap around it. Because you see, this little fella was from the slums. He had slept in the slums. He had slept in the streets. He had slept in dark hallways. And he had never even been in the room with a beautiful bed, with a white bedspread and soft pillows. And he thought, is that what a real bed looks like? There must be some mistake. It couldn't be for me. But he thought, I'll take one quick chance and I'll jump on it and I'll lay down and just feel the softness of the bed and the pillow for just a second. And after a while, he jumped down and crawled down on the floor and went to sleep. Early in the morning, the farmer's wife came to just check to be sure he's okay and was aghast to see that he was sleeping under the bed. It took her a lot of effort and pain, physical and emotional, to convince him to come out from under the bed and that this bed was for him. It really was for him to sleep on. There was no mistake. Finally, after much persuasion, she got him in the bed and covered him up, and he began to relax in the privilege that was given him. Many times we receive Jesus as our Savior because we know we can't earn it. We've tried hard and it wasn't working well. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit drew us to receive him as our Savior. But then we sleep under the bed for the rest of our life. God says, open up the box of grace. Get up in the bed, the white bedspread and the soft pillow. That's Jesus' provision for you. If it's not ignorance, if it's not fear, it may be the past. You may say, but you don't know what I've done or what has been done to me. And you would be exactly right. I don't. But Jesus does. And he says, I've covered your past too. I forget nothing. My grace is sufficient. It may be unbelief that causes you to not unwrap the box and open the grace and use it. Many times unbelief happens because we don't deal with all the little things, and they mount up. We ignore them. We put them under the rug. We refuse to deal with it. And they all pile up and end up in the form of unbelief. What was it that caused the children of Israel not to go into the promised land, many of them? Unbelief. Or it may be disobedience. You know what to do, but you just decide, want to do it my way. You know, that person just needs to be told such and such, and God doesn't seem to be talking to them. So I might as well straighten them out. I will just be disobedient and run ahead of him. So whatever may be keeping you from walking in his grace, whether it's ignorance, fear, past, unbelief, disobedience, he says, I have a path for you to walk. Sometimes it's clear where we're going. Other times it's like a maze that you just lose your perspective. Or other times there's holes in the road, roots going over it, big rocks, and you fall. I'm saying, thank you for being my family. We need each other. God has brought us together that we learn to walk together in community, not be lone rangers. And so that when I'm in this maze, and I can certainly get there, and I'm losing my perspective, and I'm starting to believe the lies that the enemy has told me, I need you all to be my safe place to say, this is what's going on now. Tell me the truth so I can walk in his grace. We need each other. If I fall on one of these rocks, I need your comforting arm to say I've been there too. This you are simply passing through to encourage each other. So know that each one of our paths are different. There's not a one-size-fits-all, although there are truths that apply to all of us. We help each other open up his grace. I love this picture of Queen Esther reaching out to touch the king's scepter. You remember the story. If you don't, go back and read it this week. Queen Esther became the queen of this area, and the people, her husband, did not know she was a Jew. There was an evil plot to kill the Jews, and her uncle said, you better ask the king to spare your people, because if the Jews are all killed, that's going to mean you too. So she fasted and prayed for 3 days, And she knew that if you went into the king without his invitation, you could have your head cut off. Well, how would you like to have a husband like that? Ooh. And so she knew this rule, but after 3 days of fasting and prayer, Esther 5, 1 through 2, and it happened on the third day. When did Jesus arise? Third day. That Esther put on her royal robes. Have you got royal robes? You do. You are clothed in royal robes. Why? Because you're in Him. Not because you're so great, because you're in Him. And stood in the inner court of the king's palace. When the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. Do you have favor in his sight? Amen. Say that loud. Yes. Because that's his grace. You have favor. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. His golden scepter is held out to you. And he says, yes, you can have and are to access all the grace. That's resources that you need to be who I've called you to be. So I love this picture of a person standing with their arms up, rejoicing, praising on a horizon that's the sun coming up, and I've called that the divine position. That's the title of this message. God wants us to stay in the divine position of opening up our heart. This is your red heart. It's the heart that He gave you when you became a Christian. And the latch is on the inside of that heart. Nobody can open it but you. And I've opened this heart, and this little cloud is rain, God's grace. You are to open your heart and let God's grace flow, flow, flow. And you're to stay in that divine position as a way of life. That is your assignment. And as we stay in that divine position, back to the picture of the two doors and the two keys, as you stay in that divine position, God says, you may go into my grace and bring forth my glory and be released to be who I've called you to be. And as you do that, there will be God allowing. We're not to just be thinking about, I want to get out of here and go to heaven. No, we're to think about getting heaven into us down on earth. So that as we are walking in His grace, God comes out of heaven, releases His grace through us and peace, and others hopefully want it. Those that are saying yes to Him will say, how can I walk in His grace too? I know you're not perfect, but where does your peace come from? It comes from His grace. His grace. So in closing, back to the picture with Jesus releasing angels. The glorious church. Let's be that church. Let's be that church that He releases, because when you come into agreement with Him, He releases angels to bring forth the assignment. When you come into agreement with Him, He says, yes, my grace is flowing, and I will release angels to bring it about.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank You for Your grace.